On today's episode of Cox Talking Gamecocks, I preview the football game against Troy this weekend, go over updates from this last week, and of course, give my six-pack of picks. All right, let's do this. Okay, welcome to episode 7 of Cox Talking Gamecocks. I am your host, Tim Cox, where we will keep everything Carolina true from 1801 to 2001. And all right, Gamecock fans, we're in it now. Take a breath. It's time to get back on that horse. We got to saddle up, get our minds right for Saturday. I believe it was even the great Dawn Staley who has said that she gives herself 24 hours to process a game emotionally, and then it's on to the next. And then that's kind of the best and, I don't know, maybe the worst part about football is that it is just so high stakes that with one game a week, it just drains you. It's all that emotion, but it allows you to regroup mentally and have a chance at redemption every single Saturday. Because if you couldn't tell, I did not really go with Dawn Staley's method of 24 hours, and I'm still just now finishing up the process of last week, but before we get into this upcoming Saturday, let's take a look back at this last week in Gamecock athletics. Now, starting away from football, as I always like to do, women's volleyball, unfortunately, they took a loss to Texas A&M, but that's all right, girls. You'll get them next time. Screw the Aggies. Women's soccer, though, they beat Kentucky. Screw the Wildcats. And are actually now ranked in the top 25. All right, ladies, way to go. Now, men's, switching over to men's sports here, men's golf, they won the JT Potson Invitational. First tournament of the year, by the way. 1-0, go Gamecocks, roll Cox. And men's soccer, they beat Gardner-Webb. So congrats, screw Gardner-Webb. If you can't tell, I'm saying screw everybody else. Carolina all the way. But as always, y'all, if I miss something, if there's news and updates from another team, feel free to shoot me a DM. Because any and all teams for South Carolina deserve the praise. Forever to thee. Go Cox. Keep it up, everybody. Doing some great work. But transitioning back to football now, the Tennessee game. It was announced it's going to be at noon next Saturday, which personally, I think that's a pretty good draw for Carolina. I mean, Neyland Stadium, that place has been a fucking house of horrors. My God. I mean, even when we've won there, it just has been agonizing. So if we can get maybe a bit of a less raucous crowd and with that earlier kick, I don't know. I think that bodes well for our chances. So noon next Saturday, I think it's on ESPN or ESPN2. So yeah, look forward to that. And then updates on the injury front, according to Coach Beamer, Xavier Leggett, he should be full go. I mean, look, and that's always great to hear. You want to hear everyone's at 100%. But I mean, it's not like X has seen a whole lot of playing time on the field this season. But regardless, you want your boys to be healthy. And then Carlins Platel seems to be progressing well. They said they're hopeful he can play Saturday, which, again, that's just great for our depth, great for the rotations on the defense to have guys fresh. So, yeah, those were only the two major updates he had, which was pretty nice. And now, I don't know, to this point in the season, I haven't really broke down press conferences all that much for y'all, and that's not something that I had typically done as a fan, but you know, I had some more time on my hands this week, and like I said, I was still kind of bugging out about the Kentucky game as it just really felt like that was within our grasp, and so I tuned into a couple of the press conferences. I wanted to hear what the coaches had to say, and let me share my thoughts with y'all as I do on this podcast. So Marcus Satterfield, this was the main one I wanted to hear. When I saw he was speaking this week, I did want to tune in. But, I mean, that was a man, he really looked upset with himself. He listed some goals and numbers that they keep as an offense, and they were just not even close to hitting them. I mean, he used this analogy, you have to bear with me here, his analogy, I'm trying to explain it. But when you're trying to establish the run, he said, you basically are trying to line up little pebbles. And when you have them all lined up in a row, that's when you get a good run established. But he said when one is off, a potential big run can get stopped for just a yard or two. And that's what has kept happening time and time again. He called it unacceptable what happened against Kentucky. And he said they will do whatever it takes to establish the run against Troy, whether that means jet sweep, QB runs, wildcat, anything else. He made it a point that they are going to do whatever it takes to get that run game going. So that was at least somewhat refreshing to hear from the horse's mouth, so to speak. But something else that he said, and I think it's the source of a lot of the frustration from the fans, is that he said we don't have an identity yet on offense. And I didn't really think about it until he had said that, but that's true, right? I mean, if we were a gunslinging team that we just kept missing deep shots, like that's why we lost the game, we could point at that and say, okay, well, if we had hit one or two, it's a different game. Now, if we were a well-established ground and pound team, kind of like last year, and that just wasn't going, we could point to that and be like, okay. But right now, it just feels like we can't get much of anything going in general, and it just feels like everything isn't working. And while I don't think that that like is like necessarily true, I think that's where a lot of the frustration is centered around the offense, and it just feels like we're kind of floating through the wind to a certain degree. But I mean, at the end of the day, Sat, he is the guy in charge of this offense, right? Now, it's not like his seat is hot, but I think his back is against the wall a little bit. I think that's fair to say. So there's two types of reactions you can have, basically. Are we going to get a fired up coach and an offense who's going to rally around this and prove the doubters wrong? Or do you see a more tempered response? And really only time can tell, but right now there is a bit of a narrative going, right? I don't know if it's going on internally. I doubt it is, but not just Gamecock fans. There are other media outlets who have said the Marcus Satterfield hire to this point is disappointing. You can change that narrative. This is a very young season. This is year one of Shane Beamer, but you can change that narrative starting this weekend. I'm going to get into this in a little bit. Put up points. Put up points and we'll shut up. We'll sit down and shut up and you can tell us to go screw off. That's what I hope we can see. A fired up coach who wants to prove all the doubters wrong. But the last thing on the press conferences I did want to say was that Shane Beamer, man, is he not just the perfect guy for this job? I mean, per usual, he brought good perspective, some positive spin to this, you know, sort of weird two-game rut Carolina is in. And it just kind of felt like the fans and Gamecock Twitter was running around just saying a bunch of stuff, just screaming and yelling just to be heard. And Beamer kind of steps in there. He's like the chaperone of a party or like at a field trip. Steps in and tells the group, all right, everybody, take a breath, have a snack, be cool. I mean, he brought up some good points, but it's all about keeping perspective. I mean, all of our goals are in front of us, y'all. Like, we have two-thirds of the season left to play, which, I mean, it's kind of sad to say that one-third is already done. My goodness gracious. But everything we want to do is attainable. A great record is still right there. These next few weeks in particular can be great. And look, I mean, we knew Carolina was not vying for a playoff spot this year. I think that's very fair to say. Which in my mind, it means you kind of have some more wiggle room, right, for wins and losses. It means you have more room for growing pains. And we don't have to feel like we want to jump off of a cliff after a loss. That's much easier said than done. But regardless, perspective. It's good to have. So as we look ahead, let's try to keep that perspective. Try being the key word because I know that is much easier said than done. And, I mean, look, the ultimate goal for this program, it lies beyond this year. The ultimate goal for Shane Beamer, it lies beyond this year. That doesn't mean let's not ask for people to be accountable. It doesn't mean let's root any less hard, but just try to keep a little perspective. But speaking of looking ahead, let's preview this weekend's game against the Troy Trojans. First off, let me just say, I mean, I think it's just me being a dumbass. I had no idea where Troy was. You could have told me it was in Alaska, and I would have been like, oh, wow, that's a far flight. How much are we paying them? I said, all right. But I had to do a little bit more research than I normally do, if you couldn't tell. But like I said from the start of this podcast, just think of me as the guy you're sitting next to at a bar who also loves Carolina sports, right? I'm not an expert. I'm not trying to be anything like that. I'm just a fan. And as a fan, though, I always do like to get a little bit of idea of what we're facing. You know, what are we looking at in the opponent this week? And this week, I just had to do a little bit more digging because I hadn't seen anything on Troy to this point. So from an overall perspective, here's what we're looking at. First off, Troy is in Alabama, for those of you taking notes. But they have an experienced team. It feels like they haven't quite broken through yet. Their coach, Chip Lindsey, he's been around. He has a pretty cool resume. I think he learned under Gus Malzahn. But he's in his third year, boasting a sub-500 record in that time. So he's in his third year. But with that being said, they return a lot of talent this year. I think it's like almost every starter from last year is back or something like that. But to this point, they're 2-2. Their quarterback, he is a transfer. He's from Mizzou. And the guy that he was battling it out with, he still does a lot for them, especially in the Wildcat. So he's a really athletic guy. They can give you some different looks. And something that Shane Beamer, he did mention this in his press conference, was that they have a D lineman who leads the country in sacks. So, like, that is just great that we have to deal with that now. Oh, and also, Troy is in the top 4 in tackles for loss. So just exactly what you're looking for. That's what you want to hear when you're looking for a bounce back win. If you can't read my sarcasm, it's there. But let's jump into more specifics here. And thinking of mixing something up here. Normally, I just kind of say, here are the keys to the game. But I feel like everyone says that, right? You hop on NFL previews, they say that. You hop on college preview shows, they say, here are the keys to the game. So we're going to mix this up. Let me know what you think. DM me. But you know how we have our Rooster, Crow, and Williams-Bryce? Well, now I'm going to have our Crows to the game. Not our keys, but our Crows. So on defense, my Crow to the game is going to be tackling. I know that may sound basic, but Troy, they run a fairly balanced attack. But something that they do like to do, apparently, is to get the ball out quick and put their skill players in one-on-one matchups with wide receiver screens, shovel passes, other type of quick passes. And while I do think that the tackling from Carolina this year has been much improved compared to years past, do not get me wrong, but even Clayton White said it's still a point of emphasis, especially later in the games. So our defense, especially our defensive backs, they have to be ready to make tackles in space in one-on-one situations because Lord knows we need the defense to keep balling out to give our offense any sort of a prayer. And speaking of that offense, what I hope is a ticked off Marcus Satterfield who wants to prove the doubters wrong. Let's hear my crows to the game. First crow of the game for the offense is to do exactly what Marcus Satterfield said they need to do, and that is to establish the running attack in any way you freaking can. I don't care if it's I formation a dozen times. I mean, that's kind of electric, but as long as it produces, right? I don't care if we have DeCarrion Joyner do 5 jet sweeps in a row to put the defense on their heels. You do whatever it takes to own that line of scrimmage because we have to do that to open up everything. Second crow of the game for the offense, find the end zone multiple times. I know that's dumb to say, but this team needs to prove to itself, not just the fans or to the country, but they need to prove it to themselves that they can go against a team that has a solid defense like Troy does and impose their will and score multiple times. My last crow to the game on the offense is to slow down that D-line of Troy. From what I've seen, they don't do a whole lot of exotic blitzes. They largely line up in their formation. They have their D-line. They're just really good at executing and getting behind the line of scrimmage. So I want us to play big boy SEC football and slow these guys down whatever way you can. I highly doubt that there is someone, or let alone multiple people, on Troy's D-line who are bigger than our offensive linemen. So let's own the line of scrimmage, establish that run, and hopefully we can get in a little bit of a rhythm earlier in the game to get things going. So with that being said, I do believe that our coaches are actively working to fix these issues that have plagued Carolina thus far. I think Troy is good in their conference. And let me make one thing very clear. They should not be looked at as a cupcake by any means. This team should not overlook this. Our fans, myself included, do not overlook Troy in any way, shape, or form. We are not in a position to do that. But I do think that playing this game at home with a chance to get back to a winning record will draw a great crowd. Williams-Brice is always great. I think people are going to turn out. This is a great time slot. And I think that at the end of the day, our defense is going to hold strong. And our offense, they will find some sort of rhythm. Hopefully, like I said earlier, than we've seen this year. Hopefully in the first half we can get something going. And so, again, without getting into specifics, I'm going to say Carolina comes out on top 14 to 17 points. And hopefully some of the good vibes are once again restored in Columbia and on Gamecock Twitter. But speaking of good vibes, let's move on to my six-pack of picks and wrap up this episode. So it's a decent slate this week. Start off right away, noon, with Georgia and Arkansas. I believe that's where College Game Day is. So it's always nice right away when you have a noon game. You can just flip on and just kind of go into tunnel mode for the day. But ACC, we're going to go Louisville at Wake Forest. Give me Wake Forest -7. I just think Wake Forest is pretty good. I don't think they make a lot of mistakes. Louisville, they beat UCF on a freak play, so their record isn't really indicative of where I think they are. So give me Wake -7. Big Ten, Western Michigan at Michigan State. Michigan State -10.5. That's at 7. I think Sparty's kind of for real as well. I think last year was a building year for them. They had a close game against last week, I think, against Nebraska. But I just don't see Western Kentucky keeping it that close. Big 12, there was like four fucking games. I really don't understand. I know that conference is like 12 individuals, let alone 12 teams. But this is at night. This could be the game of the evening, if you will. Baylor at Oklahoma State, over 47.5. We're keeping the Big 12 over rolling. Just feels right. And the Pac-12, guys, be grateful that we are not in the Pac-12. Like, my God. Like, looking at that schedule, it's just there's Oregon, and that's it. It's just a stink fest. But give me Southern Cal -7.5 at Colorado. Colorado, I forget if I gave them the official bad rating yet. They're bad. Southern Cal, it's our USC. We are USC. You're Southern Cal -7.5. Moving on to the SEC. Guys, this is the game of the day, y'all. This might be the game of the year, to be honest with y'all. UConn at Vanderbilt. I mean, if game day ESPN had any sense of the moment, they absolutely would have done game day in Nashville at Vanderbilt just with the stink fest of stink fest. I mean, I was looking at the SEC schedule and I was like, all right, maybe I will do the Georgia game here. Like what bet do I like? I would be such a hypocrite if I said game day should go there and I won't even put some money on it. I'm going UConn, Vanderbilt, under 51. And that's just kind of a toss-up. Like, do you think that the defenses are so bad that the offenses are going to light up the scoreboard? Or do you think that the offenses are so bad that the defense can do enough to keep it low? I'm going with that one. I think it's going to go low. Both these teams are ass, but it's at 7:30. I think it's on ESPNU. Going to have to tune in. You just have to. And then group of five. With these group of five games, I have been trying to mix up who I'm picking just for fun. But I had to ride the Coastal cover bandwagon because this is just an enormous line that I just have to see if they're going to do it. UL Monroe at Coastal. Coastal -34.5. Give me it. -34.5 at 2:30. Let's see if the Chanticleers can't do that. But yeah, with that, that wraps up the six-pack of picks and wraps up this episode. Don't forget to follow along on Twitter. It's Cox Gamecocks, C-O-X Gamecocks. And Instagram, it's just the name of the show, Cox Talking Gamecocks. And please, like and subscribe to the podcast. And y'all, seriously, let's keep the faith. We got to root our boys in. We still have a lot of ball left to go in this season. I fully believe Hopefully, this is a bounce back weekend. Let's get back on track. Let's go, Cox.